Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I didn't have anything to give him, like a business card or anything, but he was so, so nice.
We don't have any stuff, and we need stuff.
And we have either, stuff.
Well, we have the cards are dated. The logo's dated.
But I mean, even if we had I wouldn't have it at home.
Jesus,
that would freak me out. That would totally freak me out. That level of fame.
You love being a star.
No. That's why I got into the fight after I got fired. Anyway.
You mean the fade?
Pardon me for doing this. Mike DiFacino, did you rub shoulders with anybody that perhaps we knew that was a friend of ours or something like that?
Molly, you do that a little too well, Mike. We're going to have a conversation when we get off this.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We're enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Hinesville, Georgia, Catoosa, Oklahoma, Saginaw, Michigan, Willsboro, New York, Uharlee, Georgia, and Gourmet Turkey. Wow, that's an eclectic mix.
It is.
All over the world. We talked about having this gentleman on, and we're very excited to have him on. This is a fascinating story. We start the show today with a guest, a man who's written a book called Dear Joey, Letters from Prison, Book One. This man's name is Mike DiFacino, and he was known as Hollywood Mike back in the day. We'll get to that, how he got that nickname. He is an old friend of Leah Remini's, and he's written a book about, oh my God, he's upside down. He's upside down. There he, now he's right side. No, he's upside down. There he is.
There he is.
We got
you. Fantastic.
We got you.
He's written a book about prison life. Mike was released 2 years ago after nearly 30 years in prison. 30 years in prison. I could stop right there, but there's a lot more to this story, and we'll get into it as much as we can. His case involved the Las Vegas Mafia, a high-speed chase in a black Ferrari through Hollywood, and what many believe was an unfair sentence that didn't fit the crime. It was 6 years, and then suddenly, boom, it was a life sentence. It was strange. I want to ask him right out of the gate about that. Hollywood Mike moved to Los Angeles from Vegas in the early 80s and was a bouncer at the Palace Nightclub and the Rainbow Room in Hollywood. That's where he met Leah Remini, who was prominently featured on the old Don and Mike show back in the day and, of course, was from King of Queens. And you probably know her most recently from her Scientology crusade that she's been on, which is just fascinating what's going on with that. Mike also knew her sister, Nicole, who I've had the pleasure of meeting, Nicole Remini. He started dating Nicole and became like part of the family. In 1990, when Michael was sentenced to three consecutive life sentences... I just want to find out what that feels like. For crimes he committed, Leah and many others believed the overly harsh punishment did not fit the crimes and took up his cause. While inside, he made it his mission to educate himself and help the younger inmate population and at-risk youth escape the same fate. Mike, it's great to have you on the show. And how are you, my friend?
Thank you, and great to be here. I'm doing fantastic.
That's good. It's... I have so many questions for you about the book, which is, you know, really, really just jarring when you share these letters from other inmates. But let's start out. And by the way, the book is called Dear Joey. I want to mention that again. Letters from Prison, Book One. The book is a collection of letters that from guys that are inside doing some very, very serious time. But I'd like to talk about you first, Mike, because the idea of 30 years of your life. I mean, you were not a saint, you were not an angel, but that for anybody, it's just stunning. It's just such a terror for me personally to think about being inside on any level, being even in a county jail. It would just be terrifying. But to go and do a hard time, I think Folsom, you were in Folsom for a good chunk of your stretch, right?
That's correct. Yeah, there was New Folsom, maximum security in Northern California, amongst many of the other high security prisons there in California.
Now, you're the one thing that with all the stuff I've read about you, the you obviously were involved with organized crime in the Los Angeles area. I'll get to your sentence and the charges against you and what happened, but let's start with something maybe a little lighter. I hope it is. Mm-hmm. How did you get the name? Outside of just being in L.A., how did you get the name Hollywood Mike?
I think that moniker came with the allegations, my ties to Italian organized crime, the fact that I was going back and forth between the East Coast, ultimately landing in LA where I opened a tanning salon there, guys. And it was for all the wrong reasons at that time. And because I landed there in LA, opened the tanning salon in Hollywood, it's a funny thing with the greaseballs with fellow Italians that you get these crazy monikers, Jimmy the Hair, Tommy the Chin, and you got me. I opened a salon there in Hollywood, and next thing I know, some of the other bent noses around the country are calling me Hollywood Mike.
Yo, like, Hollywood. Okay. Hey, Hollywood's here. Hollywood's here. That's Hollywood's a name, here. Though. There it is. That and, name, and, man. Wow, it's
and
amazing.
And if I could go just a little further, because you have me laughing at myself about it. And my salon, actually, funny enough, was right on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard and La Brea. So go figure. Hollywood Mike.
Hello. You don't get any more L.A. than that. That's
a good
for
location,
sure.
Yeah,
in that part of the world. So I want to get to your story quickly, and then we can move right on to the letters. And you're involved. I think you make it really clear that you took wrong turns as a child. You took wrong turns as a young adult. Yes. You put yourself into this situation. I'd like to ask you about the actual chase with the Ferrari, and what got you outside of being associated with the wrong people, what got you specifically incarcerated the big incarceration, which was the 6-year stretch, I believe. What got you in prison first? What did you do? What was your crime?
So the 6-year bit that I took in 1990, I ended up doing something that I was completely against, which actually didn't even know it now that I think of it, was drugs. I was asked by some fellow paisans of mine to drive a car, which turns out that day to be a black Ferrari, to deliver a car, which I thought was being delivered for some of my guys, high-end vehicle. As we've alluded to, it was a black Ferrari, take it from point A to point B. And unbeknownst to me at the time, there was a hidden compartment, which I found this out later on throughout trial and proceedings. There was a hidden compartment in the Ferrari that contained, I think it was 3 kilograms of cocaine. And I've always vehemently been against drugs. That made me a hypocrite, even though I was not aware of those kilos in that car. Because I had been involved in some other doings where I bodyguarded during some high-end drug deals that made me an absolute hypocrite. So when I went to take the Ferrari from point A to point B, the whole time, once again, unbeknownst to me at the time, it was a setup. A couple of the other Italians, one in particular that was fighting to get his own brother out of prison for a murder beef, he was going around evidently the country, and I got caught up in that to where he was wearing a wire on me. And that particular day, it was a sting operation, and I fell to that.
When did so that was the initial 6-year stretch. When did they up the ante on that one, which had to be, and tell me how you felt when that happened. It's a twofold question. When did they do that? When did you get the sentence increase, that dramatic sentence? Why? And what did you go through when you got that?
So the 6 years, I'm now sentenced. I'm in prison. I'm in a California prison. And several of the the prisons throughout the country, the various systems, you get what's called halftime if you're doing what's expected of you, except not causing too much havoc inside the prisons. You get halftime. So I actually had a release date set, for, I think it was December of 1993. That's halftime. 6 years minus half, 3 years, 90 to 93. There you have it. During those 3 years, my son was conceived during what's called a conjugal visit. Mm-hmm. If you have a legal spouse, you could have intimate time alone in a sort of trailer there in the perimeters of a various compound. My first and only son was born. And at that time, I would have been home in a couple of years. And while I'm earning and fighting for that release date, I started getting subpoenaed. And before long, I'm back down in the LA County Jail, facing a lot of racketeering charges, which ultimately got parlayed from a 1993 release date to never again getting out of prison.
Wow.
Wow. That had to be, you don't shirk your responsibility in all this. And I want to emphasize this when we're talking about it. Did the concept of changing your life occur to you after you got the heavy sentence, the life term, or did you start thinking about that while you were doing your first 3 years?
Yeah, so while I was doing that first pinch, the first Nevada pinch, I got to say, because I'd been away. I was in cycling in and out of the system from a much younger age, shamefully. That said, it was during those first 3 years that my son was conceived, and I realized I needed for my life to count for something more and to set a better example, perhaps, than maybe had been laid out for me. And I began, as you alluded to at the beginning of the show, I began educating myself, reading everything I could get my hands on. Like many inside, I was undereducated. I basically was on the street at a young age, involved and illegal activities. So undereducated, I should say. And I took self-education very seriously and began to turn my life around.
Ask him one more question, yeah, Oscar, and then I'll turn it over to you here. The idea before we get to the book and how you decided to change your life by sharing with people these stories from inside. I don't know how to ask this, especially of a guy that's involved in a tough world anyway. Because when you get in there, when you're in a maximum security prison, is there one particular rule above all else that you, for survivability, for making sure you don't get hurt or get involved in a situation that can make your situation itself worse? Is there any one single thing that, for all of our friends that might be doing a long stretch in a maximum security
or
prison,
Or planning on it.
What is there one hard? You get so much information of, you got to fight if somebody challenges. Yeah. You can't lie down. What is there anyway? I know there's a code. What's the numero uno rule in the code? And then we'll get to Oscar because I've been monopolizing the conversation here.
It's not so cut and dry because there's so many rules, as you alluded to. And it's absolutely you will join a gang when you end up crossing that threshold into prison, maximum security in particular. You will join a prison gang and you will partake of whatever violence and whatever else goes on in those places. And yes, you do not. It's called turning down a fade in there. And to me, that may be for the younger generation. I don't know. That's not something that I grew up with as far as. It's called you never turn down a fade in there, and that's more gang culture thing. Mm. Where
and what is turning down a fade?
Not a
Tell
haircut.
Me what that is.
Yeah.
If someone steps to you challenging you to any type, whether it's a knife fight going from the shoulders or otherwise, 100 times out of 100, you embrace that, you engage that. And when you say what is the number one, to me, it probably would be, because I've never thought of it. Forgive the long-winded answer.
That's okay.
But it was when you cross that threshold, guys, you will participate in all the gang violence and otherwise, the tribalism that goes on in there, which I'm hoping in my own ways to bring some real illumination to so many different things. That being one of them.
To sum it up, don't back down, or it's going to make it hard for you. We're talking to Mike DiVicino. The book is Dear Joey, Letters from Prison, Book One. Go ahead, Oscar.
One quick observation and two questions, please. And thank you for your time. One, you should know that Mike O'Mara, who's on the screen in front of you right now, did not turn down a fade outside of a Clyde's in D.C. once.
That's true.
And blew out his ACL.
That's right.
Not the best fighter. I'm curious about the idea of owning a tanning shop in a city that all you have is sun. How effective is that?
Oh, they have them in Florida too, Oscar. They have them down here in Florida all the time.
You know, that's a brilliant observation. To this moment, I never gave that a second thought. And yet, I think that's when those were more of a novelty. The tanning salons were coming on the scene throughout the country. And I know you're kind of breaking balls about it, but honestly, no, not for nothing. That makes total sense.
Yeah, no, I think it's, look, I can see the business being viable, but if it's...
It was.
If it's an all-cash business, I'm thinking of the racketeering or the... I'm not saying this happened, but just the elements that would allow for that business to appeal to a certain lifestyle or organization.
Again, most regrettably, that was just a front for my illegal activities. Yeah. And again, I'm not proud of any bit of that. To the contrary, I'm ashamed of it. I don't live in shame, because I've sought to make amends, and I hope we each do, with whatever our missteps and otherwise we've made in our earlier lives. Shame doesn't move us forward. But it was what it was, and I tell you? It was very viable.
One more follow-up, and I apologize to guys. I know that we're going over time here. The kilos of cocaine, I'm Bolivian. So I don't know about kilos, but it's one of these things that if you're from Bolivia, you should probably know about kilos. Why probably 2.5 and not 3?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that one.
Okay. I'm not sure it came up in conversation.
The book, as far as reaching out to these other inmates with all these stories, where did the idea for the book come from?
I've been asked that. So fast forward many years after I'd been inside, I was trying to lead as many of the young inmates and gang members from throwing away the best years of their lives as I had. I was forever trying to think, how do I reach some of the younger males before they got into the school to prison pipeline, where I was serving multiple lives, right? So as I was constantly quietly thinking, I'm not doing good enough by just trying to get at the individuals that were already there with me.
Right.
One day I was in a cell block talking to one of my young gang members, and we were leaning over a rail, and I'll never forget the moment that I had this epiphany. And we were speaking about some of the madness that was going on in there. And I was trying to get him away from that thinking. And the concept hit me as I'm looking at all these young guys, inmates, gang members, / prison inmates. For me to be able to reach kids while they're still in school and before they threw their lives away, maybe I could start going around to some of the guys that I was living around in the various cells and cell blocks and ask them to pay it forward, which served twofold, fellas, which was, for one, it was going to be a way of, there's not a lot of self-respect. You know, respect is a very big word used in the prison system and the gang culture and the old Italian world and all
also
that.
Also in radio.
In reality, self-respect is lacking, and it's just the word. So, it would give the guys a voice in there to add something positive, perhaps that they did make a positive difference in somebody else's life. And ultimately that I could somehow figure out how to get the letters into the schools. And then fast forward a couple of years, decade or two later, the concept, put it in a book and start looking to get it into the schools that way. That's the vehicle.
When you were sentenced, when you got the life sentence, was that at the beginning of it, was that a no parole situation, or how did your final situation where you got out of prison, how did that go down?
So yeah, there was one of the many life sentences I had was life without the possibility of ever receiving parole. But because it was ultimately an infirm sentence, and as I repeatedly say, I was no innocent bystander in any of it. That said, there was a little overcharging of what was called back in the day, the book thrown at me for my
right.
unwillingness to cooperate. And decades later, as the decades continued to go, some of that was built in sand began to crumble, thank God. And a lot of my loved ones, to include who I call my little sis, Leah and her family, they stood by me along with all of my other loved ones and never gave up on me. And the day came that those prison gates, nearly three decades later, opened.
She's a pit bull. I mean, I worked with her years and years ago, and that, there's one thing: if she's in your corner, I think you could do a lot worse. I mean, she is really something else, and she's helped a lot of people, you know, on a lot of different levels. And you know, I tell you, if you talk to Leah, please pass along my love from our days that were not always fun on the Don and Mike show, but you know, that wasn't my fault. Anyway,
I second that.
You, Rob. I'm sorry. There you go. I'm not copping it. I'm not copping for that one.
No, I agree.
With that, the idea of getting out had to be, you know, what was the first? I have to. It's a dumb question, but I have to ask it. When you finally get, what's the first freedom pleasure that you indulged in? Because obviously there was a pleasure you indulged in while you were inside that was, you know, resulted in your son, which is, you know, congratulations on that. That's right. But thank when you got outside, what's the first thing? I mean, you think Italian, I think food, you know, because I'm a fat guy and I always think about food. But I'm curious, what's the first thing you did when you got out?
Damn. You know, a lot of that, believe it or not, has been a blur for me. Still 3 years later, I'm not as overstimulated as I certainly have been. But food was at the top of that list. And I could recall, and I'm still seeing the world through the eyes of a child, which I pray never goes away. But I remember making sure that someone got me to a park where I could stand under a tree and lay in grass.
That's beautiful.
Simple as that sounds.
Yeah. No, I get it. I've read enough about it to know. Before we let you go, Mike, Mike DiVicino, I want to thank you so much for coming on here. But if you could share with us one, you know, cherry pick one particular letter that touched you or moved you, that's a great example of the stuff you'll find in this book. Could you share one with us, please?
I can. I often refer to one of my one-time youngsters. His name was Cam. Is Cam. And Cam had an NFL football career ahead of him. And as he alludes to in the letter, one night he got a call from some so-called homeboys or friends. And one night of bad decisions cost Cam untold years in prison, and he chalked up a career of a lifetime.
Wow. It's an amazing book, and it really is something that I think so many kids are out there. And it's such a as I grow older, I feel even on the highways and byways as I'm driving around that you know, it's a weird world out there. You never know; it can turn on a dime. And I think about that. I think about that all the time. As far as you never know, and you have to be smart. Rob, I'm sorry I cut you off there.
That's all right.
I know you have something to
add. Yeah, I think one thing is that we really should mention the meaning of the title of the book, which as a father of two and Mike is a father of three, I think it's an exceptionally sweet idea, and the dedication. If you could explain it, it would be great.
Thank you. The title of my, it's a book series. There's at least two books in the Dear Joey Letters from Prison series. After my son was conceived and I ultimately came up with, I had that epiphany, as I alluded to earlier. I know these these letters that I could end up collecting and getting from some of the guys I could feel good about paying it forward to some degree, ultimately putting it in the format of a book. And I thought, I mean, there's no greater other than for a man to love his child wholeheartedly, but to honor my son, if you will, by naming this book series after him. And my son's name obviously is Giuseppe or Joey. And that's where the title Dear Joey comes from.
I was surprised it wasn't Paulie. I mean, that's just from my, you know, I'm sorry.
That's a bad joke.
I know. So, you know, it was there. I picked it. Yeah. Low-hanging fruit. Yeah. It was there.
Very low-hanging, Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate that. That's what I do. That's what I've made a career doing. I have to ask you this. The most famous, since you were Hollywood Mike, I will ask you, who was the most famous Hollywood luminary that you ever met? Out in L.A., did you meet any famous stars when you were out there?
My heart and soul, first and foremost, is my little sis, Leah, of course. But
Leah Remini. Yeah.
I was around James Caan for some time. And, wow. And that was, he was a real man's man. And, you know, not to shun any others, but I'm a guy that pays homage to those that come from the heart. They're real. Don't forget where they've come from. And Jimmy Caan was one of them. He was a man's man.
Yeah, and really did you know, just such an amazing career. And when he passed, we made a big deal. Did you so with your time in, did you spend any time around guys that were,
as they would say, pardon me for doing this, in the life that we might know of? Did you rub shoulders, Mike DiFacino? Did you rub shoulders with anybody that perhaps we knew? That was a friend of ours or something like that.
Molly, you do that a little too well, Mike. We're going to have a conversation when we get off this podcast. Actually, it wasn't during my state time, those nearly three decades, but a little earlier on when I did a short stint in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Yes. I ran into some of my guys at the time in the various federal penitentiaries. Mm. They used to have a thing real quick. They used to call it the midnight train. I don't know if they still do it.
That sounds dangerous.
It was this technique they had, and I was in my early 20s. The midnight train, the concept that the feds used to do, they'd put geniuses like me on planes and federal prison buses. It was like a 23 out of 24 hours day to just wear you down and break you ultimately. So just as soon as you'd be traveling through different states on these stifling prison buses, chains rattling, other inmates all around you, you're worn out, you're tired, you get to a federal facility. As soon as you get there, they're racking on your bars, they're rolling you up, they're chaining you up again. Now you're on prison airplanes being flown around the country, landing down prison. During that time, I ran into a number of, like I said at the time, my guys and leave that there. But I hope they're not able to continue, that they've been able to continue with that practice to break somebody. There's other ways I would imagine, but that's not for me to say. But it wasn't that, not healthy.
You know, Mike, I'm not a religious person, but when I do go into a church, two of the words that that always have touched me from my days growing up in a Catholic family are, or any church, when you go and you see hope and you see forgiveness. Those are two words that I love to see in any kind of religious world. And I would imagine that it took an awful lot of hope to deal with it, what you were dealing with, and an awful lot of perseverance to be able to turn your life around and turn around. Life is short, but I think you're doing something with your life right now that's got to be tremendously fulfilling. It's an inspiring story that no matter what you've been through, and it could so easily go the other way for you, where you could just have given up faith in humanity in total. You're to be commended for that, and I wish you a tremendous amount of luck in your future going forward. And I hope you get a lot out of this book, and you get a lot out of life. And congratulations on the book. I think it's really a terrific endeavor.
Thank you. Thank you truly so much, each of you. And Mike, really, thank you for that. That was very heartfelt. And, you know, I learned earlier on, it's not about us. It really, truly is about everybody else. You know, let's stop being selfish and start thinking about the next person, regardless whether they look like us or not. Unimportant.
Yeah. Fathers and sons.
Amen.
Sons do funny things. I found that out late in life, thank God. All right, Mike DiVicino, the book is Dear Joey, Letters from Prison, book one. Thank you so much for joining us. And say hi to Leah when you get a chance. Love to have her on. You get, you know, and feel free to lie to her and say Mike burst into tears and was talking about how long we've tried to get her back on the show. I know she had a bad taste in her mouth with the Don and Mike show, but please, for the love of God, I'd love to get Leah on the show sometime. Give her my best, okay, my friend?
Absolutely. Thank you guys very much.
Thank
Mike,
you, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you all.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mike. That's Mike DiVicino, and a.k.a. Hollywood Mike, and it's Dear Joey, Letters from Prison, Book 1, a fantastic read. Check it out if you get an opportunity. We're going to take a short break. We will come back with the homepage right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa.
Has this ever happened to you?
This guy saw me running. He's closing the door, pretending like he hasn't seen me I'm yelling.
Step up to a new experience in airline travel that's made for a powerful, sophisticated business leader like you.
I buy, you fly.
Santana Airlines shows you the difference between getting where you're going and leading the way.
It's not like we're in a hurry to go anywhere.
Santana Airlines, where everyone is treated like a CEO.
I'm a CEO.
I'm the president, she's vice president.
And as you enjoy the synergy of the amazing skies, use what little bandwidth you think is actionable and circle back to the amazing deals at the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center.
Leverage the value proposition of that low-hanging fruit. At the end of the day, it's a win-win. Just pivot and click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
It's amazing.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of our program is brought to you by our friends at Cornerstone First Financial. I really, really want to emphasize how good a group of folks these are, and I hope you get involved with them. You may be wondering right now if it's a good time to buy a home. It's kind of been weird with the economy this week and with, you know, positive inflation news, negative inflation news, stock market tanking this week. According to my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, it is a great time to buy a home. Inventory is back at pre-pandemic levels, so it's a great chance to marry the house but date the rate. And then you get a lot of talk about the rate, especially with inflation scares and all that. Come on now. That means as rates change, you can lock in now to protect against higher rates. And once you're locked in, if rates go down, you can refinance your mortgage to lower your monthly payments. Residential lending has changed. And whether you're a first-time home buyer, debating rent versus own, upsizing, downsizing, or anything in between, you need a team that knows your specific options and can get you the absolute best deal. With their years, and I'm talking years of experience, yes, customer service, and low-rate guarantee, these guys are the absolute best. I'm sorry I'm doing that voice again. You're our friends.
You're not that sorry.
And they've done all of our loans. And if we don't pay promptly, that's not true. I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry.
I just remember, Mike, when they gave me the loan, they requested a consideration. I don't know what that means.
Hello, I'd like to speak to Mark Livingstone. What's the VIG? What's the VIG on that? Whether a purchase or refi, call Cornerstone First Financial today, the number one mortgage company of TMOS, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
We talk about the Magic Box on this show quite a bit. It was the Emmys this week, so we're always talking about TV and what's good and what's not. Our listeners recommend to us. We recommend to our listeners. It's a nice little circle, and there's always stuff going on. According to a new poll, the average person has 13 TV shows and 16 movies on their watch list, which is about 104 hours worth of content. Makes sense to me. 68% of us think it'll be nearly impossible to get through all of it. Not me. Yeah, you don't know, you know how sedentary I truly am.
What a great problem to have.
Yeah. Might be taking House of the Dragon or Dragon House or whatever the hell it's called off the list, though.
Well, it's it's definitely a lower priority for me. Did you agree with this week's episode?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Come on. If it's the crab eater. Yeah, they could have some. The old Game of Thrones, you would have had crabs coming out of sphincters.
Didn't we have a crab guy on the show in the past?
Yeah.
That's the guy that did the crab commercials.
Kaz. Kaz, yeah, that was his name.
Is Kaz still a guy? Is he still doing
the
thing?
Yeah, he's around, I think. I think he's still doing the thing.
Right before the Bay Bridge.
Here are the top 15 shows.
Why'd that crab coming out of his eye?
I don't think it was the Bay Bridge.
No.
I think it was past the Bay Bridge. I think it was down towards Salisbury.
It was way far away.
Salisbury.
Salisbury.
I'll give you the top 15 on people's watch list. Lasso, number 15. Succession, 14. Those are on my list.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sherlock at number 13. Anyone?
Big movement for Sherlock. I never got into it, but I have big fans.
Is that Cumberbatch?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Okay,
yes,
yeah. I've never seen
it. Movie or TV show? Movie or TV show?
TV show. It's a TV show. Fantastic. Right? Very limited run, but every episode, it's one of those shows where like every episode's like a movie. The production value is so high.
Ooh. I liked, you know what? As hard a time as I give Pony, I do like his recos all the way going back to Bloodline.
Does he wear the hat in the show, Pony? The Sherlock Holmes hat?
He does eventually, but he hates it.
Hey, no spoilers.
Okay.
Number 12 is Avatar The Last Airbender.
Boo!
Anyone?
Are you talking about the show?
Is that the cartoon? What is
it? It says Avatar The Last Airbender. Maybe it's a movie. They don't distinguish whether it's
a
movie or
TV. When we used to travel a lot, I saw you take a few airbenders.
Yes, I did. That's for sure. On trains, oddly enough.
Yeah, we're out of gin. Would you like to switch to vodka?
Sure. I'll put in my own aromatics.
Anything you got. 11 is Friends. 10, Better Call Saul. How about Friends, though, with all the, you know,
huge.
I mean, after this many years, pretty amazing. The Mandalorian, Euphoria, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, The Crown, Squid Game, Breaking Bad, still Breaking Bad. People have if you haven't gotten to Breaking Bad, what the hell's wrong with
you? I think Robert has watched the series 3 times.
Yeah. Change your life.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead, way up there. Game of Thrones, we were just talking about that. And Numero Uno, who can guess? I'll give you a little timpani What do you, Rospiewak?
Gotta be Columbo.
Columbo is incorrect,
but
it's a show you like.
I love Columbo.
I'll give you a hint. It's a show you like, but you like a particular character more than ever.
Oh, I know what it is. Only Murders in the Building.
No, it's Stranger Things. Not Only Murders in the Building.
Stranger Things.
Oh,
Stranger
Things. Yeah, I like Barb.
This past season's amazing.
There it is. Thank you.
Amazing.
That's what I was looking for.
This past season.
Yeah, so it's, you know, TV. It's what's for
me. I like the kid with the big hair.
Quick anecdote about Friends that we learned from one of our new team members here at Podville.
Yes.
It might have been me that asked this great question, so I'll give myself credit.
It was great.
Okay.
I said, when did you know that the show was a hit? Because it wasn't an overnight sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what was it? What was outside of the ratings? Like, what did you see or feel as you working on the lot?
Right.
And she said, it was the cars. The cars and the way that the cast was dressing starts changing. Like, you go from
the cars that they're privately owned cars that they would bring to the set.
Yeah,
that's the same with disc jockeys too.
I've never experienced this, so I don't know.
She also mentioned craft services got a lot better.
Craft services then had Starbucks instead of just like that old coffee pot that would have.
Right.
Like, it would just slowly turn and change.
There is a fascinating story about the cast of Friends. I think it was James Burrows, or one of the producers. I can't be sure who it was. Took them to Vegas shortly before the show premiered and said, enjoy this trip. It's the last time you'll ever be able to go out without being recognized. And he was right.
Wow. That would freak me out. That would totally freak me out. That level of fame.
You love being
a
star.
No. That's why I got into the fight after I got fired. Anyway.
You mean the fade?
He did not decline the fade.
I proposed the fade. So I'm
yes, you guilty. Suggested the fade.
And much like our friend Mike DiPacino, I'm not proud of my behavior at all. Ben Affleck gave a long speech to Jennifer Lopez at their wedding, so long that it was 12 pages.
Ugh.
According to Kevin Smith is funny.
Yeah.
On The View yesterday, Kevin said, quote, Ben is one of my favorite writers on the planet. He wrote his vows. They both did. But he wrote a big speech that he read to her at the wedding, which was breathtaking and long. He said,
I don't care if it's brilliant. 12 pages is too much.
That's one of my favorite things about Ben. He's his own biggest fan.
I believe that.
So he wrote like a 12-page speech. I was like, keep talking. Keep talking. That's Kevin Smith. That's just funny. That's why guys like Kevin Smith don't get invited.
That's
to
like Jimmy Cerrito's Christmas toast.
Yeah. Oh my God. I never had the pleasure.
Oh, I time it every year.
I'd be in another room. Yeah. I'd go to another room.
Well, they close the bar down while he's talking, so you have to listen.
Oh, so he does it at the end of the night too, when everybody wants to go home?
No, he does it in the middle
It's private party.
Oh, okay. Yeah, middle's okay. Yeah. You're still tuning up. By the way, Squid Game is basically a show about how capitalism and greed can destroy people's lives. So the fact that Netflix is making a reality show about it with a cash prize is, a little bit suspect. But the show's creator, his name is Hwang Dong-hyuk.
He's sus.
Yuck. He isn't too bothered. He says, quote, "What I hope is that they will be carrying on my vision," and I can't stand that music. Stop it. "I hope they will be carrying on my vision and intention as much as possible for the show." He adds, quote, "I think that even though our show does carry quite a heavy message, whenever you take things too seriously, that's really not the best way to go for the entertainment industry." I couldn't agree more. Keep it light.
It's a shame, because if it's a competition or a reality show, you need a host, and we don't have Regis anymore. And Regis would have been perfect.
But would have been perfection. Yes. If it was real death.
As you will notice, there are machine guns that are strategically located in the teddy bears around the ring. And what they'll do is, if you cannot find the key that's in the melon, you will be gunned down by the machine gun. Well, then fine.
Thank you,
Squid Game, the challenge is a 10-episode series with a prize of $4.56 million. Which is a lot of money.
I don't know why I'm using this voice there. Oh my God.
$1 million.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
In the teddy bears, Regis. Look for the teddy bears.
I wear glasses because I have to when I'm doing this show. Mm-hmm. That wasn't always the case, but for many, many years it has been. People tend to look smarter when they're in glasses. That's what we all believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a new study found the phenomenon might not be as universal as we thought. Volunteers had to rate how smart they thought people were based only on photos, some with glasses, some without. And when people were in glasses, they were actually seen as less intelligent.
Really?
Well, then.
Mm, yeah. That's the opposite of pretty much every study that's been done. So why is it the case? Well, it turns out some cultures don't associate glasses with higher IQs like we do in the United States.
Wow.
All the other studies on it were done in Western countries like the U.S., but this one was done in the Middle East, specifically Jordan. For whatever reason, they don't associate glasses with intelligence as much. One thing we do all agree on, though, is that glasses tend to make people look slightly less attractive. People rated glasses wearers as looking less confident, too. I agree, because when I take mine off, I don't have the same
I love when Carrie wears her glasses instead of her contacts. I think she looks beautiful in her glasses.
But psychologically, it's you have weak eyes, so that's weakness, right? If you need glasses.
Yeah, I mean, you know how you really got that way.
Is that a masturbation joke?
I don't know what it is, Mike.
usually people that have really weak eyes, you know, they're small. Right, they're weak and small looking. So when you take, I have what people don't realize. I have my eyes open right now.
What? You know, I don't believe this study, because I always thought one of the smartest men on earth is the man who dances for the Six Flags commercials. And it's because of those glasses.
What, the old man?
The old man that sings to the Vangabus.
That's an old commercial.
Mr. Six.
Thank you, Matt.
You really have to dive into loserdom to know that fact.
After
for sure. Over the past month or so, the terms quiet quitting and quiet firing have gone viral. We've had many discussions on this show about that. They're basically just passive-aggressive ways to not do as much work or to make an employee miserable until they leave. Now, there's a new concept that may be trending, quietly working two jobs. The snappier name for it is overemployed. When you've got two remote gigs going on and neither employer knows about the other. On top of that, you're able to manage doing both of them simultaneously within one workday. There's even a website called overemployed.com, which helps people do it, as well as a thread on Reddit. So I didn't know that was a thing, that people are taking jobs that their employers don't know about.
It sounds like a Hallmark movie.
It sounds a little weird.
And then the two bosses fall in love, maybe? And that's how they discover it's happening?
I'm sorry to cut you off, but it depends on the responsibilities. If I'm getting it done. If I'm running my TPS reports on the passenger side, seat of my car, and I'm running maybe a few Uber rides here and there, am I really cheating on my employer?
No. I don't think so.
How different is this than moonlighting in the old days where you would take a job in the evening?
And really, is it the employer? If you're doing your job at a decent level, at an adequate level, and you're doing it effectively, does the employer really need to know that you're moonlighting, doing something like that? Boy, there's Phil. There's Phil Rogers. He's asleep at his desk. You know? Oh, my God.
We already sent you your W-2.
Classic Rogers.
Roger. There's Rogers right there. A Knoxville man was arrested Saturday for stealing televisions. This is your little something something.
Okay.
He did it from the Chapman Highway Walmart. And then he sold them in the parking lot of the Chapman Highway Walmart.
Oh, no. Not okay.
That's according to an incident report. Officers responded to the Walmart around 9 p.m., good time to be at a Walmart.
It's the best time.
I don't think you go into Walmart after 9 p.m. I think that's
8, Mike.
That's hinky time. I feel
8.
And I'm talking about the one next door. I won't be in there after 9 p.m.
What if you really need some breeze?
If I really need something, I've been in the Walmarts late at night. It's a hinky, weird. It's a weird place at 10 a.m.
It is.
I don't want to be there after the sun goes down. officers responded to the mart around 9 p.m. where they found Donald Kirkland in possession of shoplifted property. The report said Kirkland ran from the responding officers, but they were able to take him into custody. Afterwards, he told officers he had stolen 3 TVs, a karaoke machine, and camping equipment from the Walmart and was selling it all in the parking lot of the Walmart. The manager of the store also told officers that he saw Kirkland loading one of the TVs into a cart in the store. Kirkland was charged with theft of merchandise. When asked why he didn't shoplift in the... let me start that again.
Yes.
I'm terribly sorry. How to read a sentence.
It's fine.
Mike, here we go. Funny line, and I...
Here comes Oscar. Here get ready.
It's been very heavy lifting for me in the early part of the show here. When asked why he didn't shoplift at the local Costco store, Mr. Kirkland said, "Well, they're like family to me." Nah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's I was hoping you would go there.
That's a little Kirkland joke. I was worried you were going to jump in.
No. What I do is I like to hang back.
That's it. Yeah. Kirkland is the...
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we'll take a break. And we'll, we'll come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Romeo and Juliet, Antony and Cleopatra, Bogey and Bacall. Add to that list another one of the world's greatest love stories, Mike and Carla O'Mara.
Oh, yeah.
Their love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Their love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. And nowhere is that love story more on display than the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Yes, fall in love with love again and again with a Mike O'Mara Bonus Show subscription. Lovingly tap the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and order the TMOS Bonus Show today. You'll love it, just like Carla loves Mike.
Yep. Angry dishes. Oh. Angry dishes. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. If you've ever shopped for electric bikes, you probably needed to sit down when you saw the price tag. But electric e-bikes electric e-bikes.
Ooh.
Cost way less than other e-bikes without skimping on quality or features. And price isn't the only reason. Electric e-bikes are for everyone. Let me read that sentence the right way. I'm having trouble reading today.
You know, Mike, I actually stopped by Oscar's office yesterday, and while his back is healing, he's not using his electric e-bike. And
right.
It's in his office. It's the first time I got a chance to really look at it. It is a thing of beauty. It is so cool looking.
Substantial.
It is.
I know why I messed up that sentence.
Why?
Because it's written incorrect.
Is it?
You don't start a sentence with and.
I don't like to.
Well, you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to.
The sentence is, and price isn't the only reason electric e-bikes are for everyone.
I should have. It's conversational, but you're right. It's grammatically wrong.
And I'm being the stickler. I am.
And then I went to Costco, so I don't capitalize the A?
No. Went to Costco.
This is what wouldn't have stumped me, all right?
Okay.
All right, I'll do the whole thing. But electric e-bikes cost way less than other e-bikes without skimping on quality or features. Price isn't the only reason electric e-bikes are for everyone. They fold in half for easy storage and come fully assembled with free shipping. Plus, you can customize your e-bike with seat padding, size, and suspension options to maximize comfort. Not to mention that it's way more eco-friendly than a car. Explore the great outdoors or the city while keeping the air clean. There are 200,000 dedicated electric e-bike riders on the road so far. 200,001 if you count Oscar Santana. Mm-hmm. He loves his. Hop on and ride with electric e-bikes during their fall sale. Go to electricebikes.com and save up to $150 on a 2.0 e-bike purchase. That's electric, L-E-C-T-R-I-C, ebikes.com. Thank you. All right, Carrie went away.
My wife,
again.
Yes.
You didn't, we touched on this, but
briefly.
We haven't really.
Yeah.
We
can't wait to get into this.
We haven't taken a real dive on the fact that, did she go out to visit another fella?
No. She actually.
Can we give a little rough background for our new listeners?
Well, I've married Carrie.
Yes.
25 years. Almost 26 years.
Longest running marriage on the show.
She nursed you back to health.
Yes, she was selfless.
She has had a rejuvenation of sorts.
Yes, she had plastic surgery.
Twice.
And they're both times, Mike, both of them optional. She chose to do it.
The first one was a nightmare.
It was bundled in with one that had been recommended for nasal surgery.
Is that bundled or bungled?
Bundled in with a nasal correction, and then that.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. so she was having some nose surgery,
and that turned into a facelift, and then.
Well, I mean, they planned on it.
Well, yeah,
it's not like he was in there and going, well, that nose looks a little off to me. And by the way, I'm going to do a tummy tuck.
What I'm saying is that when they were planning the actual procedure, that's when the idea of a facelift was brought into it.
Yeah, while we're in there, let's do this.
Yeah, he said, you know, we can do that. And then after that, she wanted to get her eyes done. And so she had her eyes done, 2 months ago, I guess.
So when he was in there and she was going to have like a rhinoplasty for... medical reasons,
right.
And the doctor said, while we're in there, we could do a facelift. Did you hear this sound?
No.
Did she like have the light bulb go off and go, yeah.
Yeah, well, she thought that. Yeah, well, I mean.
You were consulted.
Yeah, I mean, I was consulted, and it's what she wanted. If she wants it, she should have it, I suppose. So
that's what I say about Carla.
So
happy life, happy
I
wife.
Completely
exactly.
Disagree.
Really?
Thank you.
About
Thank
my
you very much.
Okay.
For that.
Well,
I tell Shannon all the time: is it a want or need? Do we want it or do we actually need it?
Well, I mean, you've purchased things in your lifetime that you did not need.
No, he needed the transformer.
No. El que paga manda.
What's paga manda?
The person who pays. They make the rules.
What is the literal translation of paga manda?
El que paga manda, the one who pays.
Pacamanda.
He actually makes the rules.
Monster.
Pacamanda. It's a Brazilian monster? Or what is it?
It's a Bolivian money monster.
Oh, a Bolivian money marriage monster.
Back to Carrie. Yes. She traveled over to all the way to the Far East.
Japan?
Yeah.
To see a man.
Yes, she visited a guy over there because she had a place to stay.
No, but she went because she thought that might have been her long-lost love.
Now, when did you invent that? I'm curious.
I thought that's what happened.
No,
it's fun.
It's not fun.
What do you remember?
I remember.
He doesn't remember anything about going to Japan.
Yes, I don't remember anything.
Talking, please.
I remember that she went to Japan, and then we were asking you about who she went with, and you were like, "Oh, it was a friend that she knew, and you know, back in the day." And then it came out that it was a guy, and we were like, "Oh, that's kind of weird."
Did we determine that he was gay?
No, that's another guy. But that guy, that Tony, he was on this trip.
No, I mean, I was talking in terms of a romantic relationship.
No, she had a place to stay in Japan, and she always wanted to go.
I thought she went to meet a man.
No, he
in Japan.
No. She knew the guy from high school. They were friends, okay, and she went and visited him and had a place to stay in Japan.
Okay.
And Carrie does love to travel. I'll give her that.
She likes to go away, and she likes to be, and she likes most, what she really loves is spending time away from you.
And wouldn't you?
I absolutely. I'd love to get out of the house.
But
you know?
I meant be away from me.
Yeah, but you're no trouble, right?
Yeah, I'm low maintenance.
You're fun.
And as a rule, I let her do what she wants. She was a traveler before we dated and before we married. She was a traveler. Mm-hmm. And this trip, normally when she travels, I wish her all the best. And I say, have a good time. If she's going to visit a cousin, that's great. If you're going
cousins!
Do something like that, that's fantastic. This is the first trip that I'm jealous of when I started to see how it was falling out. Because she was going, they were all going to converge in Los Angeles.
Who's they?
They is her friend Jennifer and her husband.
You go right down the list, okay? So there's Jennifer.
Yes.
And hold on, Jennifer's husband?
Yeah, Billy.
Are their husbands going on this trip?
Well, her husband was. I think I might have been invited on this trip, and I think I passed.
Ah, there it is. Okay,
but you know what?
Fact.
But we may be to the point where I wouldn't be invited because she knew I would probably say no. And early on, I would have said no.
Okay, so one couple's
one
going.
Couple, and then Tony and his boyfriend were there, and Carrie. They all stayed in a Airbnb.
So that's another couple.
Yeah. So there was five people in the Airbnb, and then a couple other people.
Wait. Who were the other people?
The other people were not at the Airbnb, but they were there for the event that they traveled out for. Which
what did
is
they travel out for?
Duran Duran at the Hollywood Bowl.
Wow.
And I'm jealous, not only because Duran Duran puts on a hell of a show, and they've put more money into their show now because they used to be doing arenas. Mm-hmm. Now they're doing a bigger tour. And the Hollywood Bowl, I've never been to that legendary venue. I would love to see a show there.
I mean, they do a good live show.
That's, yeah. It's fantastic.
So they're out in L.A.
Yeah. And then all she says, we also, Tony planned out some good eating to do. And I said, well, where did you go? And she says, a place called Musso and Frank's Grill. I said, that's the restaurant that they're in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And she says, I haven't seen that. The food was good. And
which restaurant is it in? Where they have the margaritas?
When they meet Pacino at the very beginning. And
that really old school leather
one that kind of looks like a palm.
Okay.
So they actually had dinner there and ate at the Rolling Stones' table.
Wow.
And then they went to another restaurant that I've heard of in Hollywood lore called Cafe Formosa, which is like the
It's not the Rolling Stones' table. It's the Rolling Stones'
table. And the Cafe Formosa was the first high-class Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles, and it goes back to the 30s. And it's so classic and beautiful, and they went there. And I started thinking, you know what? Trip to Los Angeles, two great restaurants, hell of a show. I should have gone with this one. And I told her as much.
And what did she say to that?
She said, well, the Duran Duran's still on tour. I guess we can go see them again. And I said, yeah, but it won't ever be the Los Angeles show. So
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because this is a throwback to your old lifestyle where you really, you know, you were kind of a hermit,
recluse.
Yeah,
and you were down in your basement, you know, and so
drinking,
you know, knocking back lemonades, lemonades and vodka, with probably not a lot of motivation to do stuff,
right?
And so now, you know, it's going to the casino, it's going out with mom, it's going around,
tubing.
You're traveling all over the place, you're doing stuff.
Yeah.
This is the new you. So this has changed dramatically.
So I would like to, I'd like to be a part of this.
Does she want to have you along?
Well, I don't know if she does or not, but apparently all the friends asked about me, which is a
good
sign.
Well, you're fun. More than anything, you're fun. I mean, Rob Spiewak, we give him a lot of hard time on this show, but as a traveling companion,
he's
great. Oh my God, he's
the fun.
Best.
He's got a great attitude. The one thing that's a little off-putting, and look, I say this with all due respect.
Oh, I imagine.
I counted five dongers on this trip, and Carrie.
Yeah.
Your wife. Like, what is she like? When you don't travel with your wife, I guess now that I'm
it's kind of like doors open.
Yeah.
In room 403.
Yeah.
Knock three times.
Yeah.
Come on in.
I don't feel she was in any danger as far as that goes. As far as the.
How many heterosexual males were involved in this trip?
Billy. That's it.
What about that other
one guy? And he was with his wife.
So that's why I think we're fine.
Did he have a lot of pineapple shirts?
There was rocks in the driveway. I don't know what that means, but I was.
It was a good time.
They had their Airbnb was walking distance to Hollywood Bowl. Mm. They were right in the middle of everything. She sent me pictures. They went to Hollywood Cemetery, and she sent me pictures. So I was on her mind. So I think in the future when I was on her mind. I think in the future that I might be accompanying her on some of these voyages.
You should go.
Yeah.
It wouldn't just be great for the show, but you should see the world.
And we have an anniversary coming up in October, so we have to figure out what we're going to do for that.
I'm traveling for my anniversary Friday.
Yes.
You know, it's why I won't be here. And you guys will be doing the bonus show.
Yeah. Clear skies, I heard.
That's right.
We have to break.
Yeah.
Why did I do that?
But
I can ask something.
Guys, I won't be here on Friday. Just letting you know on air right now in real time.
We knew.
No, you didn't. You gave us the dates.
You really didn't.
You gave us the dates.
Yeah. Oh, I did.
Yeah, it's your travel day. We know how it works.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
But I got something else to talk about Carrie.
We'll do that when we come back. And we'll ask our Oscar about the pooper investigation as well. Right here on the Mike O'Barrow Show, everybody.
Hey, kids. Where do you want to go for dinner?
Amato!
Now Jim Amato is going to sell a veggie burger.
Amato burgers.
I love beef, but I'll take this.
Not believe the incredible Michael Barron burger.
This Amato veggie burger is fantastic.
Oh, God, these are good.
Welcome to Amato's, Pittsburgh's favorite burger.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
At Amato's, we pack our burgers with top quality cuts of beef and prepare everything with tender love and care.
Did they teach you that here?
Brad. If you're hungry for laughs, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Supersize the fun with a yearly subscription at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Yeah, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
A lot going on in that one.
Take advantage of that low-hanging fruit.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. How we care for our minds affects how we experience life. So it's important to invest time and care into keeping our minds healthy. There are plenty of ways to support a healthy brain, like learning a new language or taking power naps. Sleep is so important. There's also BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is professional therapy. It's done securely. It's done online. And it's available to people worldwide. You can log into your account anytime. You can send a message to your therapist. You can also schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you don't have to be on camera if you don't want to. Even better, it's much more affordable than in-person therapy. Now more than ever, I believe in therapy, and BetterHelp is always there for you. Best of all, they are accessible when you need them. Keep your mind healthy with BetterHelp. Now listen to this. This is a great offer. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/TMOS. That's BetterHelp.com/TMOS. And we thank you, BetterHelp. All right, so one more thing you wanted to add about the Carrie trip.
Well, no, this is not about the trip. This is a separate issue.
She's back, by the way.
Yeah, she's back, and she had a great time. And I think one of the main reasons she had a great time is, you know, she has been also improving her eating habits and exercise habits, and that along with the elective plastic surgery, she looks dynamite. She really looks good. And when you show up off a plane to your high school friends and you look that good, that's a pretty good moment for her.
Without her husband.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Single and swinging and ready to go.
And next trip, you're in the passenger side.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. So,
okay.
All that is good, except then there's the time that Carrie makes me feel so awkward and there's no good way out of it. Oscar was actually part of this real time yesterday. Mm. Carrie got up, and because she was on this trip, her car, she has the Kia, of course, the Sorento. It sat unstarted in the driveway for 4 or 5 days because I was using the other car. Okay. She went to start it to go to work, dead battery. And so we thought maybe it was the key fob because you need a fob to start it. So I walked her through changing that battery. Well, that wasn't the dead battery. The dead battery was the one in the car. And so I called the dealership because I knew I had one replaced there, not recently, but in the recent memory. Mm-hmm. And it was still under warranty. So
Kia, by the way, is Korean for burn them up.
That's what it is.
Speaking about the battery.
That's right. So
right. Did it send, by the way, did the alarm go off, the battery alarm go off on the Kia?
I'm not familiar with the battery alarm.
It sounds like this. I'm sorry.
The dealership has teddy bears with guns in it.
That's two Korean jokes. Yeah.
So she called our insurance company because the battery was covered. We just needed to get a jump start.
Yeah.
Did the insurance agent say did the adjuster say you're in deep kimchi?
No, he did not. I'm like, we have an American insurance company.
Do you call your insurance company for the AAA to show up, or is it?
It's coverage through our policy.
Okay, got it.
So I forget exactly how she did it, but she got everything all worked out. And the guy shows up and he gets there like 40 minutes ahead of schedule.
Oh, that's always
and
good.
Gets it started right away, leaves it running. She said, all I need to do is drive to the dealership.
Did he put a brand new battery in it?
No, but the dealership did. And the dealership is
fantastic.
The dealership is only about 5 miles away. So it's easier.
There is, you have some history because if I'm not mistaken, you've burnt down a car by jumping car.
I did.
Inappropriately.
Yeah, you've been battery challenged before.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this, you know what? I can really claim absolute non-guilt on this one.
Red positive, black negative.
You see, they had at CarMax, which, by the way, they should burn down. They had put the caps on the wrong.
You ever drive by one of their lots?
I hate it.
I was just there 2 weeks ago.
Why?
I got an estimate on the Volvo.
And?
They basically said, bend over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the worst place you could possibly ever go.
Everything
and
about it is
rotten. They're a big factory. They're a rip-off factory.
Yeah, that's exactly. Mike, a clip joint.
In my opinion, it's not a fact. Please don't sue me. I'm a lowly podcast.
So this guy starts up the car, and it's going great, and she knows that everything is set. And he says, by the way, your name's Spiewak. Are you related to a guy who does podcasting? Boom. And she said, why, yes, my husband is on the Mike O'Mara show. And he said, and he also does Cake and Cookies, right? And
so fan.
He's like a real fan.
Mobber.
Yeah. And Carrie,
that's exciting.
She said, this was really cool because Carrie forgets that even though we are not in the grand spotlight of fame, we do have a little bit of ourselves in the public eye. I think Carrie forgets that. And she was very nice to the guy. She said, yes, that's my husband. Would you like to see the jukebox? And she brought him into my basement and showed him the jukebox. And the
and that's when he knocked her unconscious.
And that's when he had said, drink this. I brought this
that's
from
just
home.
A little,
do you
that's
like
very
my
nice
new
of
face?
Her.
And then,
hey, but that's a really nice reaction on her.
It was fantastic. Showed him my little home studio and all the junk I have downstairs, the Elvis shelf.
Just a strange man.
And then she called me and said,
the empty bottles.
The empty bottles.
This is where he used to drink.
The bottles are full of memories. Sad memories. They're no longer empty.
That's cool. That's
yeah, it was
cool.
Really cool. And then Carrie called me. She was so excited to say how cool this guy was and that he's a big fan and that she showed him all this stuff. She says, I didn't have anything to give him, like a business card or anything, but he was so, so nice.
We don't have any stuff and we need stuff.
And
we have stuff.
Well, we have the cards are dated. The logo's dated.
But I mean, even if we had stuff, I wouldn't have it at home.
Jesus.
And then I said, Carrie, that's okay. How much did you tip him? And she says, oh, I didn't tip him. So after emphasizing the fact, no, now there's no good way to get under out from under the fact that this guy thinks I'm cheap.
The tour of Robland was the tip.
That is not the tip. Believe me, that should have increased
it. I know exactly how you feel. I would not have thought that. You're very thoughtful to think about that.
It's embarrassing.
And then she said, well, I have his name. We could call him and Venmo him something. I said, that's even more awkward, I think. I don't know that there's any solution to this. I'm just going to, you know what?
Maybe she calls the guy back out and, tips don't always have to be dollars.
Yeah.
She's all revved up from the LA trip.
She could she could get stuck in the washing machine somehow.
My toe is in the tub. It's stuck in the faucet. I don't know what to do.
Oh, this robe.
It's fallen open.
It's mysteriously fallen open.
Tablecloth isn't what it was before.
That's right. Can you? I know that the insurance is for car, but do you help me with my bathtub faucet?
Well, I think it's great that that you had a Cake and Cookies fan.
Yes.
When's the next Cake and Cookies going to be gracing the
you know what?
Podcast waves?
Right now,
Cookie.
Because
you're Cake.
I am Cake. Cookie, Katie, is still at a point where it's hard for her to talk an extended period of time because of her jaw surgery. But there's nothing stopping us when she feels better. And we did one not too long, 5-6 months ago, I think, here at Podville mm-hmm. when she was up, and it was a blast, and we'd love to do another one.
Way to keep it in the public eye.
But we got to do it.
All right, let's get an update on the the pooper. You say you might have some, and we only have a couple of seconds here.
I have sent
dust poop.
I've sent the camera footage of the stoop pooper to the police because what I can decipher from the camera and the sound that this this act was done at the wrong house. Someone was trying to leave a steamer at someone else's house.
No, like it was on purpose.
Oh, you think this
was
an act of malice?
Yes. Instead of the bag of poop that's on fire, they just left the turd. But these
what makes you think this was
young
malicious?
Man is he's laughing while he's going to the restroom.
I do
on my stoop
all the time.
Oh, he's laughing,
and you can hear someone in the background saying,
"What do you mean you laugh all the time?"
Every time when I'm, especially during number two, I just can't stop laughing.
Look at that! You stand up and you stare at it. And
well,
laugh.
I squat over.
You
it.
Hear. You hear what sounds like college kids saying, "Are you sure this is the right house?"
Oh, you hear that?
Yes.
Ah, well, there's irrefutable proof.
Irrefutable.
Right there.
Move to the city, they said. Buy a home, they said.
Yeah, crumbling infrastructure, they said.
It's like a Georgetown undergrad.
Yes.
Oh my God,
Mike, or a professor.
Well, wow.
It's funny because when you send it to the police, and I don't call 911, it's 311, and they give you a little...
Great band.
They deal with these ring cams all the time, just like, send it in. I have not received a response yet. I wonder why.
But you called and they said send it in.
Send it in.
And then you went through the process of sending it in. Was it difficult to do that?
No, it was easy. It was just embarrassing.
Well, the good news is Alfonso Ribeiro just awarded him $5,000.
We have to take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we will... speaking of cameras, tomorrow on the show, I'll tell you all about my my install. I got not one, not two, not three, not four.
Five?
Yeah.
A fin.
Yeah.
Celebrity coverage.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, the password is mounting tape. We'll be right back.
Coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show tomorrow, the return of Nicky Diamond for week two of the NFL. His week one picks were fantastic. Will week two bring him success? And will he continue to have luck with his electronic oracle? What? Tune in and find out tomorrow on the Mike O'Mara Show. More to come.
Now that Labor Day has passed, oh, turn that up. I love that song. Now that it's passed and we're looking at autumn, it's a great time to chill. A little louder, please, and enjoy. Beautiful changing weather. Great time to spend less time in the kitchen time. More time having fun time with those people that you like spending time with.
It's instrumental, Mike. You can go all night.
Oh, it's an instrumental. And now through September 17th only, Freshly has a special deal. You can save $150 off your first six meals. All delicious, nutritious, and delivered right to your door. They're designed by nutritionists, prepared by chefs, and they fit your lifestyle. With plans tailored to every dietary preference, I love that they are delivered fresh, not frozen, and always taste dynamite. Oscar loves Freshly. He's loving the pork chili Colorado with slow slip. The pork chili. Turn this music off.
You know what?
You asked.
You asked a handful. For it. You're crazy. This man's crazy.
Crazy in the head. Pork chili Colorado with slow simmered black beans and rice yum.
Wonderful.
It is good.
I mean, sorry. That's loving the pork chili Colorado with slow simmered black beans and rice. Yum.
How's the music level?
Back to it. Okay. Can you start at the beginning?
Yeah, of course.
All right, here we go. I'll just do that.
Get into the season with Freshly's post-Labor Day special and spend less time in the kitchen this fall. Now through September 17th, get $150 off your first six meals at Freshly.com/TMOS. That's $150 off Freshly.com/TMOS. Remember, Freshly.com/TMOS for $150 off your first six orders if you order by September 17th. That is no doubt low-hanging fruit.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you gotta do the thing.
I forgot the thing. Let me bring it all the way. Thank you. Hit the town music.
Sound town.
We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound town.
Hey there, Mike. Are you familiar with a Boston suburb called Stowe?
Stowe is in Vermont, but yeah, there's one in Boston.
Yeah, too, Stowe, Massachusetts. They're in crisis over there because the Dunkin' Donuts is shut down.
Oh. I had a guy that was on the golf course. He will go nameless. Yes. And I was complaining about a various orthopedic injury that I had. Or perhaps it was lack of sleep. I think it was like, I'd love to take, I think we were talking about melatonin. And this guy looked at me and said, "You need mother's little helper."
Oh, no.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mike, but Dunkin' is from Boston.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, I think we agree.
They love their donuts up there.
It's not our favorite donut. Although in Stowe, they call it Dunks.
Yeah, because it's so scary popular.
And with the Dunkin' Donuts closing down, people are in an uproar.
There is no more Dunkin' Donuts in Stowe.
Absolutely none.
Yeah, it sucks. There's nothing fun to do, and Dunkin' Donuts was the one place where everyone likes to go.
Bummed out, because I've been traveling further away to go to Dunkin' Donuts.
These days, you gotta go around to Hudson, you gotta go to Sudbury, leave the state. I mean, not the state, you gotta leave Stowe, though.
Yeah, I'm sad. Sad for the people of Stowe.
You know, we have a Dunkin' Donuts in Leesburg. If it closed down, I'd have a parade.
I don't.
Well, there's a lady
Dunkin'
here in the studio that's upset about it, right? You weren't happy they closed it. Well, what do you have to say?
I there's no words. Oh. No words. No words.
I thought she'd have something to say, but she really
she's really. You have to leave the state, or at least Stowe.
Down here, we have Chick-fil-A's. Those are popular.
Yes.
And I have a studio audience today. I didn't even tell you that.
That's
you
know? Fantastic.
Yeah. Jimmy, what do you see when you go to the local Chick-fil-A?
I see dead people.
Okay. That's right. Go ahead.
I'm glad Jimmy's there. Mike, the Texas Rangers, fine baseball organization.
Oh, great franchise.
But they might want to improve on focus a little bit. During last night's game, there's a player they have, Marcus Semien, who forgot that he was up to bat next. And they caught it on television.
That's lack of focus
now,
right there.
He did hit a double, to be fair. You'll hear that here.
When he finally came up?
Yeah, but they had a camera on him in the dugout when they announced his name. And his eyes really bulged out.
He's played the second most games of anyone over the last two seasons for, he forgot he was on deck.
That was amazing right there.
What a timely report, dude. That is stunning.
Oh, my goodness.
They're talking about him.
He's a serious professional. There you go.
Hey, roll out of bed and hit a gapper. In fact, he's hustling for two. Here comes the throw. Not in time. That's a double. Hat tip, Marcus Semien.
So
that's great. Roll out of bed. I love announcers that get it. Professional broadcasters. That's awesome.
Okay, I would normally dislike this clip immediately out of the shoot because Ryan Reynolds is a great publicity hog for his aviator gin. However,
and his mint, right? Isn't it mint mobile?
Yeah, exactly. Mobile, yeah. He got a colonoscopy live on the internet, and they actually found
the publicist got a hold of that one.
Oh, they were very excited.
You've done the same thing.
Yeah, but
I have. I've done colonoscopy, colon awareness.
But he does have a mass, and they say that this colonoscopy could
I thought he had just a polyp taken off.
Well, it was they did find a mass or a polyp. I don't know the
difference. There's a big difference, between a mass and a polyp.
Well, I'm not Catholic anymore, so I don't know. But anyway, apparently it saved his life, and he was so excited that he did mention gin.
I was able to find an extremely subtle polyp, potentially life-saving for you. I'm not being overly dramatic. I mean, you had no symptoms.
Yeah. Seriously, thank you for pushing me to do this. Can't believe you pumped all that aviation gin into my IV.
Okay, I gotta say,
yes,
they're Hollywoodizing it.
Yes.
You still gotta get checked. You gotta get it checked.
You get checked. They snip. They do the snip. I've had them. I've had 50 of them snipped off of me.
And you have most of them, don't you? I mean, in a jar.
I have them in a little jelly bean.
Gross.
Yeah, shellacked.
I had one. I thought, what is this? Is not a jelly belly. This doesn't taste like buttered popcorn.
I have them in a beautiful container. Spared no expense.
Okay. Speaking of colonoscopies, Mike. Yes. Southern California, because of the heavy rain, is having a lot of mudslides.
Oh,
and this is some audio that a guy caught. You need to find this video because it looks almost like science fiction, the amount of mud that's flowing. It looks like lava, but it's mud. Just mud. It clears. It destroys a fence. It clears right through.
Are you sure that was an audio from Ryan Reynolds' colonoscopy?
That was different mudslide.
That's actually a clip from one time in Manassas when I visited a little restaurant called Don Pablo's.
I remember. I remember you were laughing.
Yeah, I laughed when it happened. Like, out of the way.
Okay. And speaking of mudslides again. Oh, for Michigan. This poor lady went and got a Subway sandwich, and she's accusing the restaurant of having feces on the wrapper of her sandwich. And Subway says it might be chocolate, but it's still being analyzed.
Here she is. One pretty easy way to find out.
Well, I think she has a pretty strong story here.
I went to Subway. I ordered a sub. Kind of weird interaction. Go into the parking lot to eat it, and I noticed that the parking lot just smells like sewage. I'm like, okay, so I had a bite, and I took it home to eat it there. I go and take a bite, look in the papers in between the two wrappers on the sandwich. There's feces. We're not sure if it's dog or if it's human.
A lot of that going around.
My God.
Yeah. Wow. Don't get double meat on that.
Oh, my God. Man, I tell you, I wonder if they were anywhere near your house.
Hey, Mike.
Well, the sandwich fell, but we still had to deliver it.
While we have you, could you do your Subway order in Spanish? I do love that.
Yes. Lechuga, tomate, sal y pimienta, I forgot. Sal y pimienta, lechuga, tomate, and mayonesa.
Mayonesa.
Gracias. Yes. Mayonesa. Is that the last one?
That's perfect. That's a perfect end for me.
Okay. I was just checking. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode when I will discuss how difficult it is when you have a home built out of blocks because the little piggies built this house and trying to put something in the wall. I don't want to, so I decided to put sticky stuff.
Open this door and let me in.
Yeah. Who had three times cameras falling off where they were?
No. Oh, cameras, that's okay.
Rah.
They're very durable. It's good when you drop a camera.
No problem. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Our thanks to Mike DiVicino. The book is Dear Joey, Letters from Prison, Book 1. Great talking to him, and I hope he says hi to Leah for us. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It's coming from the health sector. I just swallowed a bee.
There's no words. No words. No words.